we are holding on Peites Amud Aleph, five lines from the bottom. Okay. All right. Now, one of the things we mentioned when we went through, we had a braisa near, not a braisa, we had a statement from, there was a braisa that Rava pointed out, that we have a braisa that teaches us a number of the detailed dinim of what the worker is and isn't allowed to do on the job. One of them was that he's not, we learned from the pasuk over there when it says that you're allowed to eat grapes, means v'lei anavim v'dava acha. You're not allowed to eat the grapes together with something else.
Briefly, can you tell me the things that we're not allowed on Shabbos?
So there's,
no.
Yeah, well, some of them we'll go through as we see. There was one, for example, that there was one of them. One of them is what we're going to be discussing over here, that you're allowed to eat the produce, but not with something else. So that's what we're going to focus on. Iboyelahu. So now they had that a question. Poyel maushi have her v'ur v'yoychol. Can the worker singe or roast, or lightly roast the peiros halav in fire and then eat it? Which Rashi points out, why would you do that? For example, with grain, for example, was a common kind of snack in those days that you would toast grain and eat it. So, wait, the rest of all the money is done. Okay, there's a good gimel right there. There's a sandwich in the hand. That's where they went. All right. So, is the worker allowed to singe or toast the thing? So, for example, grain tastes better when it's toasted. The same thing, olives, for example, Rashi says, you heat them up a little bit and they taste better. Mm-hmm. So you're allowed to do that. Mi havi kan novim v'dava achar eloi. Is that the equivalent of eating the grapes together with something else, which we learned before from the fact that the pasuk says that you can eat anovim, grapes, implying v'loi dava achar, you can't eat the olives with something, having the grapes with something else, or eloi, or maybe not. Maybe fire is not considered a separate thing. Tosfos learns, based on the Gemara later on in the sugya, that what we're talking about over here is there's a difference, Tosfos says, whether you're talking about peiros that are not really so edible without being sweetened like that with the fire or whatever, versus where they are perfectly edible without that, but you want to give them some extra flavor. If it's that, if it's the latter, Tosfos says, if it's the kind where by themselves they would be perfectly edible and just you're going to make them better, then fine, there's no question you're allowed to do that. The question would be if they're not really, if other than that, if without the fire, they would be, let's say, kind of tart and kind of hard to eat, and therefore the fire helps sweeten them.
Like a potato like not, or a carrot.
Yeah, let's say. Or like maybe not completely ripe grapes, yeah?
So if a fire is being used for a certain work, the fire's allowed to burn everything because it's eating everything.
Yeah, okay. Toshma, yeah. Toshma, we learn in a braisa, Rashoi Balabais Sahashkas Perlim Yain. The Balabas is allowed to, for example, if he has the workers working on grapes, he's allowed to give them wine to drink. Kadeshala Yosla Novam Habi, so they don't eat a lot of his grapes, so like this they'll get full from the wine. Rashoi in Perlim, the Tabal Pitim Basir, and conversely, the workers are allowed to, when they have their sandwiches, when they have their bread on the job, they're allowed to, which they brought with them, they're allowed to dip their bread into sir, like fish juice or whatever, to give themselves an appetite. So they'll be able to eat lots of grapes. So the Horda we see there's no problem with doing something to make the grapes tastier. The Gemara says no. The difference is it's a gavra versus chesta kind of thing. Like, should a gavra like come a boil? I'm sure there's no question that you can do that the worker is allowed to do something to make himself more able to eat. The question is, when you're doing something to the fruit, where you're sweetening it, for example, by toasting it or whatever, that's the question. You can't prove that one way or the other from this price.
How many times in the Gemara does it use the Russian gavra and chesta?
Not very many. It's not even really so much in classical halacha svarim. It's more the gabra versus the famous gabra versus chesta distinction of the brisker thing. Yeah. You find this in some places in Chassid.
Well, here's one.
Okay. Yeah. So what's the deal? Toshma, poilin oichlan anovim b'roshne umenuyis shalahen. The workers are allowed to eat grapes. While they're at the ends of the road, at the ends of the road, meaning in other words, it actually says like this. For example, they're allowed to eat while they're working. a worker may figure to himself, you know what, though, the ends of the rows are more exposed to the sun. The grapes are probably riper and sweeter over there. Instead of just picking at random from the grapes as I go along the row, where some of them may still be a little unripe or tart or whatever, I'll wait till I get to the end of the row and take that for the grapes from there. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to do that. Or eventually you have a reward, but as long as you don't take the grapes and toast them in the fire. So the Chora, we see exactly that. There you go. You can't toast them in the fire. The answer is no. Halsa mishum bitul malacha. No, because you could argue that Braisa is saying there's a different reason why you can't. It's because you're wasting time from work while you're toasting them. Kikam avaylon hecha de'ika ishtir bono. The question that we started the sugya with is, let's say he has his wife and children along with him there in the vineyard. They're not doing any of the work. They're just along to what they're, you know, bring your child to work day. So the kid is there watching his father pick the grapes or whatever. So the worker hands a couple of the grapes to his son and says, here, toast them for me while I continue working. You're allowed to do that. Are you allowed to do that? That's the question. My, so what's the din on that? Tashma. Another Braita says, well, you have v'ur v'oichel. You're not allowed to toast the grain or whatever it is in fire and eat it. V'lo yichmer ba'adam v'oichel. You're also not allowed to heat it up by burying it in the dirt. You have, let's say, the dirt itself is hot. You know, you hear sometimes people talk about, you know, it's hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk. So the dirt itself can be hot enough that you bury the grain or whatever in it in there, and it gets a little warmed up and then toast it. You're not allowed to do that. You're also not allowed to break or crush or bruise the fruit on a stone and eat it. Rashi describes like you do to apples. I guess the idea is, like, for example, sometimes, you know, you have a brown spot on an apple. Kids tend to not like them, but the truth of the matter is those, also bananas, whatever, those are the sweeter parts usually because there's more sugar concentrated in there. So that would be the kind of thing then. You're not allowed to do that. But you're allowed to crush it a little bit at a time with your hand, like from one hand to the other. So again, Lachora, you see, the Braisa clearly says you can't toast them. Again, the answer is Hasam Mishum Bitzel Malacha. Again, you could argue that the Braisa is not telling you mitzad the dinim of a worker eating on the job, what he's allowed and not allowed to do. We're talking just mitzad the concept of Bitzel Malacha. Mind you, I mean, there is a pretty close connection between those things that Amram says, right. the idea behind why a worker is only allowed to eat on the job and not, for example, let's say, just sit down and eat, is because in the Vasa Malachta Shabbat Abayis. But we're talking over here, basically, are we talking one Isser or two? If he were to do that, is he over on the Isser of Gezel, by wasting time from the Balabas's work, as well as he has no right to do this according to the Dinim of Poel Oikol, and therefore he's over on that as well, or maybe he would be allowed to do it mitzad the dinim of poyel oichol, which is what we're dealing with over here. He just wouldn't be allowed to do it mitzad gezel. So again, if we say it's bitul malacha, then yeah. And the Gemara says hachi nami mistaver. Yeah, in fact, it seems logical to say that the problem with all these things we mentioned in this last braisa is bitul malacha rather than the dinim of what the poyel is and isn't allowed to do mitzad the dinim of a poyel eating on the job. The Safadaita Mishum Matoki Pera, because if you're going to talk about that, it's a matter of trying to sweeten the fruit. Salamai Matoki Pera. Lachora, how does the fruit get any sweeter by banging it on a rock? And the answer is, okay, actually, the Mimtik Purta, fine, but okay, inevitably it gets a little bit sweeter.
It
helps a little bit.
Stone's hot, maybe.
No, not if the stone is hot. That would have been the other things, or whatever. No, we're talking about, for example, let's say, for example, with apples, you know, again, you bang it against the stone, it makes a bit of a brown spot, but it takes time for that to develop. We're not talking you're going to sit there a half hour until it's, you know, we're talking about you're banging it a little bit, but still maybe it helps a little bit.
I completely don't understand why you would bang an apple on a rock before you eat it.
I don't know. I never tried it myself.
It
depends.
They're as hot as a rock.
I suppose it depends also what kind of apple.
Those days, the apples are different.
But it could also be people's teeth weren't necessarily in the best shape in those days either, you know. Maybe you need to bang it on a rock, crush to soften it a little bit. I don't know. All right. Onward. Okay, so we still don't have a proof one way or the other. Tashma, come, let's prove from another braisa. Polim show you odrim bateinim. If you have workers who are odrim with with figs. Usually the word oidurim, means like hoeing, like taking a shovel and digging around the root to get rid of any weeds or whatever. But here Rashi explains that it's lashon lekita l'chol min v'min, that it means picking. So in that case, the word maybe is not oidurim, but rather orim, which is the usual word in Gemara lashon for picking things. Anyway, the goidrim b'tamarim, or they're harvesting dates, or boitrim b'anavim u'moiskim b'zeisim, or harvesting grapes or olives. Rashi explains that each of those minim, there's a different verb that's used in Hebrew for that type of harvest. In English, we would just say harvesting all of them, but in Gemara terminology, you have different words for each one. So, harel o'chlum u'pturim, all of them are allowed to eat from whatever it is they're working on, and they're potter from meiser, sha'tor zichsalahem, because the Torah is mezakeh to them, that they're allowed to eat it. And that's we said before. Another one of the things we said before is that the Torah makes a hekesh between the worker and the owner of the field, that just like the owner himself would be able to eat at this point, and it would be potter from meiser, because it's not gemar malacha yet, the worker is also allowed to. We don't consider that as if the worker bought it.
So in all cases, we whenever the owner can eat it before taking meiser,
so can the poyol also. However, that's what we're going to talk about, a little bit of an exception to that. The pitam lo yochlu, however, they're not allowed to eat the fruit together with their bread. Elin came up with rishus mivalabais unless they got permission from the owner. That's so far fine. That's no problem, because we know that would be anovim medavra acher. That we clearly had in the braisa before that you're not allowed to do that. The question was only about fire. We're still working that one out.
What's the reason why you're not?
There's a custom, because basically the idea would be if you eat it together with something else, it's going to give you more of an appetite. You eat some grapes, you know, you have a bowl of grapes on the table. How many of them can you eat before you get sick of them? Mashenkin, think of by a Shon Zohar or something, you know, Mashenkin, you eat a couple of grapes, and then you eat some agris, and then you eat a cookie or whatever, and then after a while you go back to the grapes, you know.
You give them bread, you get salt and bread and you get brought.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it'll be, variety, you know. Okay, anyway. However, continues the Braisa, v'lo yisvis v'melach v'yochol, but you're not allowed to dip olives, for example, in salt. So there you go. Okay, the Gemara says that doesn't prove anything. Melach v'adek hanov m'davacha dami. Sure, salt would surely be considered like davacha. Okay, the salt goes directly on the grapes or the olives. It's not like you're eating something separate. It's not like bread, which is separate from the grapes or the olives. But still, okay, it is for davacha. That doesn't prove anything one way or the other as far as fire. So we said, so now let's analyze that a little bit. We're saying that you're not allowed to dip it into salt and eat it. But I have a contradiction. A different braisa says as follows. If you hire a worker to dig or to dig, like I was just describing, like to get rid of the weeds or whatever, or the kashkish, which is to cover any exposed roots of the tree. You cover them with dirt or straw or whatever, you cover them with the cash, with straw. That's why it's called the kashkish. Hareza lo yochol, such a person is not allowed to eat from the olives on the tree because it's not gemar malacha. It's not the time of gemar malacha, and we established before that you can only eat the shas gemar malacha. Sacher livser, but if you hire somebody to harvest the grapes, sacher limsoik, that's the mamalacha, exactly. Or you hire him to harvest the olives, sacher the locket, or you hire him to collect any. Limsoik is what you do with olives.
You pick them,
but there's a different term. There's a different term in Hebrew for each kind of fruit harvest. In the case of grapes, it's called betzira. In the case of olives, it's called mesika, and so forth. So you hire somebody to do one of those things. Hareza socher lelaket, or you hire him to collect. Let's say, for example, you have fruit that's falling off the tree onto the ground, and you hire somebody to pick those up. Hareza oichol potter. Then again, he's allowed to eat from whatever he's working on, and he's potter from meiser. Shatora zichsalahem, because the Torah is mezakeh to him, and we had before the limud that he's potter from meiser.
Because this is Gemar Malacha.
Because this is Gemar Malacha, and because it's not yet Shas Gemar Malacha. It's the time when the work on it, as far as harvesting it, is being completed. However, it's not yet Nikva LaMeiser. It's not yet Gemar Malacha in terms of the Dinim of Meiser. It hasn't yet reached that stage of its processing where it's going to be Chayv and Meiser. Now, continues the Braiser. Kotzatz Achas V'Achas Yod. Kotzatz. What if he... Kotzatz. What happens if he made a deal with the balabas? He made a special deal that I will be allowed to eat. Let's say, for example, now up until now, we're talking about the cases where he has the right to eat at minatoda level. Now you can have a case where instead of just relying on that, you go and make a deal with the balabas. You make a special deal with the balabas that I will be allowed to eat over and above what the Torah tells me that I'm allowed to. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says that I don't understand. If you're allowed to eat minat Torah, why would you bother making such a deal? So Tosfos explains
that Torah means you limit up to a certain amount.
Okay, so fine. But so Tosfos gives two other explanations. One of them is that let's say you're talking about one of the workers who's not allowed to eat. Let's say the one from the Reisha of this Braisa, where you hired him, let's say, to dig around the roots or whatever. He's not going to be allowed to eat. But if you made up with this, so in that case, he might want to make up with the balabas. Fine, minat Torah, I'm not going to be able to eat, but I am going to be hungry on the job. Have a rachmanas on me. Allow me, if you want, deduct it from my salary or whatever. Then of course he's allowed to, because it's called nisher mum and kind. And then Tosfos brings also another possibility from Rabbeinu Hanano that kotzatz means that he made a deal with the balabas that he's going to. There's a maximum amount he's going to be allowed to eat. Minat Torah, again, he'd be able to eat as much as it could take to get him full. He can't eat a chilagasi. He can't overstuff himself, but he's allowed to eat up until he gets full. He might have, let's say, kotzatz. He might have made up with this balabas that he's only going to eat, let's say, 10 or 20 of them. So in that case, if he was kotzatz, achas v'achas yirkel, then he's allowed to eat the peiros one at a time. And in that case, he would be, shtayim shtayim lo yoichel, but if he wants to eat them two at a time, then he cannot, because as the Gemara is going to discuss now, once you put them together two at a time, then already it has a certain cheshivus, then already it's become a gurdon, then already it's like considered like you have you've made it into a pile. Just like when we talked before about grain, that once it's made into a pile and the pile is smoothed out, that's the Gemar Malacha, that's when it becomes Chayiv and Meiser. So it is, generally speaking, Midrabanan, that with any other kind of fruit, once you start collecting it, then you already have a certain Chashivus. Then it has a Kviyus as it becomes Chayiv and Meiser. So the point is, therefore, you can't eat it, you can't take them two at a time, because then you're going to be Chayiv and Meiser. Now, obviously, okay, you want to take other peiros that you have at home and declare them Meiser on behalf of these, so you'll be able to eat them, fine, no problem. But the point is, otherwise, what are you going to do? You're going to take Meiser out of these fruits themselves. You made up with the balabas that you're going to be eating these, not that you're going to be taking extra in order to have some left over for Meiser. Therefore, you can't do that. And the Braisa finishes off, the sofas v'melach v'yoichol. You're allowed to dip them in salt and eat them. So we have to ask Ahayah, what part of the Braisa is that din about the dipping in salt talking about? Ilay ma'asefer, are you going to say it's talking about the sefer, the case where he made up a specific deal with the balabas that he's going to be able to eat over and above what the Torah allows him to? Well, of course, kiven dekotzav kolecha debar lechel. Sure, he made up with the owner that he's going to be able to eat, then okay, let him eat gezot dehed, however he wants, according to any of the explanations. According to Rashi, that he was allowed to eat, but he made up with the balabas that he's going to be able to eat, even in a way that the Torah wouldn't otherwise allow him, like dipping in salt. According to Tosfos, we're talking about that he wouldn't have been allowed to eat at all minat Torah, and now based on this deal he is. And according to Rabbeinu Hananel, that he said, I'm going to max out at 10 or 20 or whatever. Sure, you want to eat your 10 or 20 with salt, what's the problem? Ella lava resha. So the case about the salt must be talking about the resha. That we're saying the case, the resha, meaning really the metzias, the middle part of the braisa, we're talking about the case where you were hired to harvest the grapes or whatever, and you're only eating on the minat Torah level. You're not making any kotzatz. You're not making any special side deals with the balabas. Then we're saying you're allowed to eat them, but you're not allowed to dip them in salt. So there you go. Then you have the answer that you have the answer. The Gemara is one way of looking at it is that the Gemara is comparing, even though we just said that salt is not necessarily the same thing as fire, now we're revisiting that. Maybe after all there is a certain similarity between them. So the Balamara, for example, said that, because the Gemara is trying to use that to answer the question about the fire. And once we have the answer about whether you're allowed to eat it with salt, then we'll also have the answer whether you're allowed to roast it in fire. a number of other Rishonim, Tosfos and others that I'm say that no, that's not the case. We left the question about fire open. We never did find an answer to it, and therefore the halacha, the bottom line halacha, is you're taka not allowed to, because it's a suffix. It's a suffix whether you're allowed to. So it would be suffix zela if you were to do that. Okay. So back to the Gemara. So we assume then that this business about that you're allowed to dip in salt must be talking about the reisha. So Adarabba then prove that you are allowed to dip it in salt. I'm going to buy a loikasha. And the question really is also, you have a contradiction between the two braises. The one braise said that you're not allowed to dip it in salt, the lo yispis memelach v'yodichol, and now we have one that said that on the face of it says you can. Abaye says, no, there's no contradiction between the braises. One is talking about an Eretz Yisrael, the other is talking about an Chutz Laaretz. Meaning, why are we saying that? So why in the second braise are we talking about dipping in or dipping around salt? We're not talking about the dinim as far as poyel oichol. As far as from the point of view of poyel oichol, you're talking not allowed to dip in salt, but we could be talking regardless of where. However, because I'm not a medavah. However, when it comes to if you kotzat, if we are talking about the sefer of the braisa, you made a special side deal with the balabas. From the point of view of poyel oichol, sure, you can dip it in salt because the guy has no objection to you dipping it in salt. You made a side deal with him. However, there's a problem with that meiser. Dipping in salt is another one of the things that is kevea fruit as far as that now it becomes chayev in meiser. When you dip it in salt, there's six things that I'm on
the list.
Salt. Well, it's interesting you mention that because the Rambam lists six things. The Rambam gives a list of six things that are kaveh l'maaser. The Ravid objects really you have seven because in the Yerushalmi on the Masechta Maaseres it also mentions pickling. The Rambam lists six. One of them is dipping in salt. He doesn't mention pickling. So the Mefoshim on the Rambam say because pickling is basically the same thing as salt. One is solid salt. One is salt water. Same difference.
So that's why he doesn't list it as a thing.
The point is okay. The Ravid points out the fact of the matter is there is a difference in the Yerushalmi lists it.
Pickling just salt water or is there vinegar there?
Yeah, but it could be. Pickling could be any time. La halacha, you can have, when la halacha, you have something soaked in water for 24 hours, it's considered pickled too. Covers shavu for reversal, yeah.
Grandmother wasn't pickling?
Okay, no, come on.
In Europe, all the grandmothers.
Okay, come on, no. Okay, so anyway, so Abaye says, like kasha kan ba'oretz kan b'chutz la'aretz. Ba'oretz kovah svisa. In Eretz Yisrael, you would not be allowed to dip it in salt, not in the sabbath dinner poyel oichol, because we're not talking about a case of poyel oichol, we're talking about kotzah. However, you have a problem with meiser. Once you dip it in salt or rechayev in meiser, and again, you're back to the problem. How are you going to take meiser from it without infringing on your deal with the balabas? Unless you have other payers of the same kind at home. In chutz la'aretz, even in places in chutz la'aretz where you are chayev in trumas and meisers midrabanan, such as in Bavel and Syria and other countries nearby Israel. But in those places, Abaye is saying, we're not going to be so machmir and saying that dipping the fruit in salt is one of the things that's keveya for maaser. So it's still not chayev in maaser yet, till the real gemar malacha. Therefore, as long as we're not talking about the dinim of poyel oichol, we're just talking about kotzat, goes under, hey, dip it in salt.
It could still be prohibited from a poyel oichol.
So from the point of view of poyel oichol, it'll be also, but from the point of view of kotzat, yeah. Amar Rava, however, Rava says, "Mi committed to ba'aretz kava svisa midaraisa, or b'chutz la'aretz like kava svisa or mutalach tchila." Where would you find such a thing that when you have something that if it's in Eretz Yisrael, you're saying dipping in salt would make it already chayev in ma'aser minatora, and now in chutz la'aretz you're going to the opposite extreme and saying even though you're chayev in truma and ma'aser in this place in chutz la'aretz, nevertheless the rabbanon are not going to impose this thing of dipping in salt. You don't find, and in the mutalach tchila, you don't find such a thing. Usually, when the rabbanon make a takana, called the tokun rabbanon kein deraisa tokun, they usually make their gzeiros and takanas to be parallel to the as close as possible to the original din deraisa. If midaraisa in Eretz Yisrael, which is where terms of maaser are applicable deraisa, dipping it in salt will make it chayev. Then in chutzlah, we would assume that the rabbanon made the same takana. Once you dip it in salt,
takanas in Eretz Yisrael correspond exactly to the one.
Generally speaking, we assume that the rabbanon, unless we have reason to say otherwise, we generally assume that the rabbanon, when they make a takana, they usually make it as similar as possible to the original din d'oraisa. So if you have that produce in Eretz that grew in Eretz Yisrael is chayev midaraisa, and produce that grew in Bavel, let's say, is chayev midrabbanon, we would expect the dinim as far as dipping in salt should be the same. No reason to think that there should be any difference.
Svisa
means dipping in salt. Yeah. Ella Omar Rava. So no, Rava says you have to.
I was wondering we don't use this term on Pesach.
Which term, Svisa?
Yeah.
Because so there is a different explanation that Svisa is specifically a term that's used in the case of olives. If you ever tasted fresh olives a few years ago, one time I found in the store fresh olives and tried eating them, they were very, very bitter. They're almost impossible to eat. What you do, one thing you do is then you crack them open, and then if you crack them open and bury them a little bit in salt, then it takes out a lot of the sharp stuff or whatever, a lot of the acid or whatever it is in there, and then they become at least semi edible. So that would be the sweet stuff point for this. So we're not just talking about stam dipping in salt, which are you? Okay. Anyway.
What was the thing that you were talking
about? About olives, fresh olives. Ella Amar Rava. No. So Rava says you have to understand the difference between the two braises as follows. Bein b'chutz la'aretz, bein b'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. Chodah, like Rava
doesn't agree with that. Rava
doesn't agree. So Rava is giving a different explanation of the contradiction between the two braises. Bein b'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. Chodah, like kava svisa. Tauti, kava svisa. When you have, if you're eating the olives or what have you, one at a time, even if you dip it in salt, that's not enough by itself. Just dipping it in one by itself into salt is not enough to make it chayiv and maaser. Tauti, kava svisa. But if you eat two of them at a time, and you're also dipping them in salt, then you're going to have a problem. They're going to be chayiv and maaser, and therefore you can't do that. Well, that's what we're saying.
It's Rava's opinion.
No, the halacha is like Rava.
You need
two factors for that purpose. Yeah. Kotzat, on the other hand, so this is all talking about when the worker is eating from the mitzad the din of koil oichel. But now what? So that's the ratio of the braisa. So in other words, when we say in the first braisa v'lo yispas melach v'yoichel means that you can't you can't collect a bunch of them together, two or more of them together, and dip them in salt, not mitzad the dinim of koil oichel, but because of the dinim of maaser. And the second braisa is saying, if you're having them one at a time, the sofas melach v'yoichel, it is referring to the resha after all, but if you ate them one at a time, then you're allowed to dip them in salt when you're eating them one at a time.
In other words, everybody agrees on this dinim of maaser.
Well, that's what Rava is saying. So therefore, kotzat, so when it comes to koil oichel, then, therefore, it's like, so if you made a side deal with the balabas, bein sofas or bein lo sofas, so then it doesn't matter whether you dipped it in salt or not. Achas, achas, oichel, shtayim, shtayim, lo yoichel. You can only eat one at a time, not two, because otherwise, once you made a side deal with the balabas, that's the equivalent of buying it. If now, buying is another one of the things that's mechayiv and maaser, kaveh and maaser. So therefore, if you bought it, and now you made a godin out of it, you made two or more of them together, which now makes a godin, now it becomes chayiv and maaser. So it doesn't matter whether you have salt or not. You're ready. Gurdon is like a granary, like you collected them into a storage.
By using two at a time.
By having two at a time. Yeah. And we'll see soon how we see that two is enough to be considered a gurdon. But so therefore, in other words, the point is like this: you need two factors for it to be chayav and maaser. If kotzat, you're not eating mitzad the dinim of poil oichel, then you have once you have you arranged you made kotzat. And you put two of them together, there's your two factors. Therefore, you can't do that. So it doesn't matter whether you put it in salt or not. So therefore, achas achas oichol shtayim shtayim loyechol. So you can only eat them one at a time, not two at a time. Loy kotzat v'loy sofas. On the other hand, if you didn't make any side deals with the balabas, and you didn't put it in salt either, shtayim shtayim, then loy kotzat v'loy sofas, oichol shtayim shtayim, gizum tehei, you can eat them two at a time, because there's no kvius yet.
So
the fact that you made them two at a time, you only have one factor.
And you need two.
You need two. Sofas, but if you dip them in salt, achas achas oichol shtayim shtayim loy oichol, then you can only eat them one at a time, not two at a time, v'af agab denotor reshus mibalabayis, even if, let's say, you got special permission from the balabas, you can't because it's a little maaser, because you have the problem of tevel, that at this point, having dipped them in salt and having put two of them together, then now it's chayiv and maaser, and therefore you can't eat it without taking maaser.
That's regardless of
So that explains the difference between the two braises about whether you can or can't dip in salt. It depends on the circumstances. Yeah. But in other words, it comes out according to Rava. There is no problem mitzad the dinim of poyolochel, mitzad the dinim of kisavah v'kerem re'echa, of dipping it in salt. Salt is not considered a davar acha for that purpose. Again, according to the Baal HaMor and some other Rishonim, that also teaches us then about the case of the fire, that that's not a problem of anavim medavar acha either, and you would be allowed to do that.
Salt is somewhat similar to fire?
In that sense, yeah, because it's not really something that's eaten separately from it. It's not like bread and olives, which are two completely separate things. Again, according to the Tosfos and the Rambam, and then most other Rishonim, we never answered the question about fire, and therefore that remains also. Can't you
say that it depends also on the Makom HaMedina? If the Makom HaMedina is to put it in a fire, what?
No, because again, according to Tosfos, there's a different distinction whether the thing would have been edible without the fire or not. If it would have been edible, and just the fire is making it even
edible,
better.
For the Makom HaMedina.
No, it doesn't matter in this.
It doesn't matter.
No, we're talking about the din d'oraisa, what you're allowed and not allowed to do. Yeah. Okay. Fine. For tau to cover tvisa, fine. The one thing we have to figure out then is how do we know that you need at least two for it to be that if you dip it in salt, it'll be chayev. Amar matnas. Amar kroki kibtsam ka amir gona. You have a pasuk that says that he gathered them like sheaves of grain into the garden, into the granary. The kibbutz implies that you gather at least two things together. So there you go. Once you have two things gathered together, then yeah. The context of the pasuk is talking about that the Eivishta is gathering together all the goyim to deal with the ones that need to be punished and so forth. Yeah. They don't know the Lashon HaPasuk over there, Vehem Lo Yodu. They don't know that what the Eivishter's plans are. Kikib Tzam Kamer Goyno is gathering them all together to deal with what needs to be dealt with.
As quickly as possible.
All right. Tosfos points out, it's not a real limud. It's an asmachta, this concept.
In here would be a main thing.
Okay. Turn it up on him. Horus Hamarakses Fitvua. Now we're going to go back to the topic that we touched on earlier in the sugya about the din of loisachta. And we said at the beginning, there's two sort of interwoven dinim over here, which we ended up saying in the Gemara we learned this morning. There's two dinim that are kind of interwoven as far as their halachas. The din of allowing a worker to eat on the job, which is what we were just talking about now, and the din of allowing an animal to eat on the job, which is the mitzvah loisachta b'shor b'disha. There's a certain crossover between them. We said we learned from one to the other the fact that a human worker is allowed to eat from stuff that's already been harvested, that when before it's Gemara Malacha L'maisa, the fact that an animal is allowed to eat from stuff that's still attached to the ground. That was one of the things we learned. There's certain similarities. So now we're going to go back to this topic of chasima, of muzzling an animal and having it do work for you. So turn it up on him. Poros hamiraxes v'tavua. If you have cows that are miraxos on grain, miraxos Rashi says is like this. Let's say, for example, you take barley. Rashi says you soak it in water, then you toast it in the oven, and then after that you have now there's still at that point there's still like a thin there's still a thin layer of shell of peel or whatever that's on them. Once you do that, once you soak them in water and then dry them in the oven, then you have animals tread on them to finish threshing them, and therefore it makes like you have an extra good product basically. You have an extra tasty kind of grain.
You waste them, dry them, and peel them.
Yes,
basically.
So that's the thing. So we're not talking about in the end you're going to be grinding this into flour. Then it's still going to have challah. Then other dinim apply. We're talking about just that you're going to be using it to make, for example, eventually you're going to be retoasting it after you have these shells taken off and making it toasted grain or whatever. So, given that the main disha was already done, given that the main threshing was already done, and this is sort of a secondary threshing, therefore the actual din of loisachtem shor b'disha does not apply to that. The hadoshes of truma and meiser, or animals that are threshing grain of truma and meiser. In those cases, if you muzzle the animal, you're not over on Isra of Baal Tachsim. In the first case, the Meraxis Vitvua, again, because the main Disha has already been done. And in fact, it's already Nigma Malachim Lamaiser. At that point, once they were toasted and once they were soaked in water and toaste the first time, they're already Chayiv and Meiser at that point. You're not going to be you're not going to be making a pile out of them. You usually don't do enough of that at one time to make a pile out of, which is the normal time. It'll be chayiv and maaser. So at that point, it became chayiv and maaser. And we established before, once it's chayiv and maaser, then already the human or the animal workers don't have the dispensation. They're not sort of teaching it anymore. As far as truma and maaser, practically speaking, you can't feed that to animals. So therefore, you're not always mishum ba'pachsin. Avol with name maris ayin, but because of the problem of maris ayin, because people aren't going to know the difference, maybe bulma oisamin, what you should do is take a fistful of that kind of produce, the total of a trap, the chibapia, and put it in the feed bag that's on the animal's mouth. That way, it's able to eat from some of that kind of thing, and people won't think that you're muzzling the animal, which is awesome. Because they will, because they'll see now there's a feed bag on the animal's mouth, and it's eating from that. Yes, but, yeah, it was a common thing that you'd tie a bag under the animal's mouth. Yes. The Rambam has a different explanation of part of Samaraxis the Tavura, and then this is the one that's brought in Halacha. It's in fact the very last Halacha in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch from Choshen Mishpat, is that according to the Rambam, part of Samaraxis the Tavura means basically the animals are taking a shortcut or something, and they wind up treading on grain that's lying over there in the field. You're talking about, again, it was already harvested. It was already harvested, but now it hasn't been properly threshed yet. But now they're walking on it as they go along and threshing it as they go along. So therefore, since you didn't bring them there with the intention of them threshing it, so therefore, if you have the animal muzzled, then it's not a problem. There's a sicha in Chelek Dalad where the Rebbe analyzes that halacha a little bit and said in terms of the dinim of sikuresha and so forth. And the Rebbe says that based on the Alter Rebbe's lashon in this particular halacha, it may be that actually if you muzzled the animal ahead of time before it started going across over there, and you knew it was going to go across over there, then you tackle would be chayim. When would you be potter if, let's say, after it's walking through it, while it's walking through that area already, at some point you put the muzzle on it? That's when they're saying you wouldn't be over there.
So you start without the muzzle.
You start without the muzzle, and then sometime while it's walking around over there,
you're right. So you cannot muzzle.
Yes, it's an Isra Midera Eitzel. It's Saksam Shor B'Dishay.
Wait, the ratio would be if you start with the muzzle?
No, it's not, because because the point is, when the animal walks over there, inevitably the tour is going to get threshed. So therefore, if you had it muzzled ahead of time, then that's the thing. The Rebbe explains based on the lashon of the Alter Rebbe. Doesn't say this explicitly, but the Rebbe says, because usually the Alter Rebbe, much like the Rambam, doesn't necessarily always bring chidushei halachas. He tends their job is basically to collect the halachas as we know them from the earlier sources and update them and give you the bottom line halacha. They don't necessarily give you new halachas to face the new angles on the halacha that they themselves thought of. But nevertheless, the Rebbe says you can deduce from the Alter Rebbe's Lashon that this may be what he holds. Anyway, so that's part of Samaraxis, the Torah, according to the Rambam.
Again, if you put it on before...
So if you were to put it on before the animal starts walking over there, then you would be chayav, it sounds like.
But if
you did it in the middle while it's walking through there, okay, you didn't bring it over there like a chilam muzzle.
It doesn't say b'chilat b'dishay, it says b'dishay.
But that's the thing. Here we're not talking about, it's not regular threshing anyway. They're just walking through over there like taking a shortcut or something. So it's not like you intended for them to thresh in the first place. Nonetheless, the mitzab dinim of psikresha, if you had a muzzle on it beforehand and they're going to walk through there and sikresha that they're going to thresh, then you have a problem.
If you put it in the middle, you'd actually tease them, because before, in the middle, if they want to bed down to eat, all of a sudden they get muzzled down, so it's out of the hand.
Okay, but at least up until this point, they would have been able to eat. Huh?
No, but they weren't walking, they weren't there.
No, they were. I'm saying while they're walking on the while they're walking around on the grain over there, Onward. As far as this, that we, the last thing that we said, that you should take some of that kind of min and put it in the feed bag to avoid issues of maritain. Reb Shimon Yechayim, may the kashinim v'tolim lo. What you should do is not necessarily take the actual min that the animal is working on, but rather take kashinim, as a type of bean that was usually in those days. That's this kind of bean. I think even nowadays also this type of bean was typically fed to animals more than people would use it as food in emergency situations. But basically, it was animal food. It's something of the pea family, I think, fava beans or something like that. I don't know, whatever. Anyway.
If it would be actually from the men that they're working with, they give them two or more, you're putting the feedback that's already high.
No, because this is animal food we're talking about. It's not high.
but the one he's stepping on, which is making the five.
No, but that's not Gemar Malacha Lamaisa. It's Gemar Malacha Lamaisa, which would be Gemar Malacha Lamaisa would be one to heap up into a stack or whatever. Here we're talking about threshing, which is an earlier process. Okay, so Rav Shimon Yechaya says you bring kashinim b'toy l'lo and put those in the feed bag. Shakashinim yopis l'lo min akol, because kashinim are better for the animal than anything else. Rishonim, better for the animal. They're healthier for it. Mefoshim discusses Rav Shimon Yechaya necessarily disagreeing with the Tanakhama over here, or is he adding to it? Is he saying that? Is he saying instead of oisa, I mean, you should dafka use kashinim in cases like this, or is he saying you could use kashinim if you want? Okay, anyway. Urimini, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction to all of this. Another Braisa says, Poros hamaraksis b'tvua eino over mishum baltach. So if cows are maraksis on tvua, again, according to the two explanations of what maraksis are, then you're not over mishum baltach. So fine, no problem with that. Ladoshis v'truma maisa over mishum baltach. But this Braisa continues, if they're threshing truma and maisa, and you don't let them eat from it, you are over on loisach. Not like the first Braisa says that you're potter, and it's only a problem of minor science. The Nochri Adosh B'Parot Yisro continues the Braita, if a goy is threshing using a Jew's cow and he muzzled it, Eino Oven B'Shem Baltach, then the owner is not over on Baltach. Rashi says, even if we're going to analyze this at the bottom of the Amud and the top of the next Amud, so we'll see, we may get to it today or not, but Rashi explains that we're talking about even if the owner of the animal said to the guy, go ahead, muzzle my animal and use it for threshing your tavur. So you're not over on Baltach. We'll revisit that later. It has to be your tavur. We're going to see. Wait. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that we're talking about that you say to the goy, you take my cow, muzzle it, and thresh my tool with it.
Oh wow.
Okay. So we'll revisit that.
That's also not
high. According to Tosfos.
Yisrael
adosh v'parosa shel nochri. On the other hand, if a Jew is threshing using a goy's cow and he muzzles it, over mishum baltachta, and then he's over on baltachta. So kasha truma truma kasha maisa maisa. So now you have a contradiction between the two braises as far as truma and as far as maisa. The first braise said if they're threshing truma and maisa, you're potter from, but you're not over on baltachta if you muzzle them because you can't let them eat from it. Therefore, just mitzad marisai, and all you have to do is put something in its feed bag. The second braise is saying you're actually over. If you were to muzzle them, you would get malchus. So what is it? So bishlema truma truma lekasha. Okay, so I can explain that. When it comes to the contradiction with truma, it's not really such a contradiction because can be gedulei truma. Because one braisa can be talking about actual grain of truma itself, and the other one is talking about grain from truma that you planted. Now, let's say, for example, so a kohen gets truma. If he were to take the seeds, if he were to take the grain, some of the grain that he got at truma, and replant it, mida raisa, anything that grows from it, is complete chulin. It's just like any regular chulin. You take new truma and maaser from it, and the usual rules apply.
That's when you put them in your plant.
What? Midrabanan. Midrabanan. We say though that we consider it truma. The Chachamim made a gzera because they didn't want what's going to happen. Let's say a kohen has truma. Now a kohen typically wouldn't do this with truma, which is tar. Typically, he'd only do it with truma, which is tameh. He can't eat it anyway, so he might as well plant it. Problem with it is, what happens, therefore, if he figures, okay, I have truma, which is tamei, I'm going to hold on to it until the planting season and then plant it. Meanwhile, it's in his house for 3, 4, 6, whatever it is, months, and somebody may forget and eat it, and it's truma tamei. So because of that, the Chachamim made a takana that if you plant it, the whole thing is going to be truma. And therefore, that'll dissuade him from doing it, because that actually, I think, if he plants it truma tamei, I think the din midrabanan is we actually consider it like truma tamei. So therefore, he doesn't gain anything from it.
Midaraisa
would be cholin. So, but the point is, since it's daraisa, it's cholin. Therefore, when it comes to the din daraisa, the sachem, show the dishoy, you can't prevent the animal from eating from it. I'm a rabbanon of tshuma, or tahor, or tmei, as the case may be. Fine, that doesn't affect the din daraisa. Therefore, you have to somehow make sure the animal is going to be able to eat. You can feed it other food ahead of time so it can't eat from it or whatever, but you can't actually muzzle the animal because otherwise you're over on the din daraisa.
Because it's considered
Dura. Because it's Dura, it's holy. as opposed to if it's threshing actual truma, then you could say, okay, then you have then we would say that dishoy, as we'll say later on, that dishoy implies only daish haroy, only the kind of threshing which is roy for the animal to eat, and truma is not roy for the animal to eat. So fine.
What was the city of Hino that we've had last?
Basino, yeah, we had, yeah.
Yeah, see, they wouldn't have held by this whole thing. They would have just planted it.
I don't know about that. We said they didn't care about the Takana de Rabbanon, about the Lakeach or the Moicher having to give Ma'aseh. It doesn't say that they rejected all the Takanas de Rabbanon.
Okay.
Yeah. The Rashi, they kept all the other Takanas de Rabbanon. That's why the Gemara could only find that as the reason why they were destroyed.
Oh,
okay.
Anyway.
Ella Meiser a Meiser Kasha, but don't you have a contradiction between the two cases of Meiser? Where are you going to find a case of Meiser that the one case where you shouldn't, where you can't muzzle the animal, and the other case where you can? You can answer the same thing. Let's say you planted Meiser. Problem with that is, Bishleim Gedule Truma Truma. That doesn't really work. Gedule Truma, okay, you have the Din de Rabbanon, that is Truma. Gedule Meiser, Chulin. But if you plant Meiser, the Rabbanon never made any Takana about that. That's complete Chulin. Bitznan, Gedule Tebel, Gedule Meiser Sheni Chulin. By the way, when you say Meiser unspecified, usually you mean Meiser Sheni. Because for the most part, my tradition is not really different than any regular chulin, except for the fact that you have to take Trumas Meiser and give it to the Kohen. Other than that, there's no real special dinim about it. It's given to the Levi, but anybody can eat it. It's not also Lazarim. It doesn't have to be eaten the Tara. So usually when we say Meiser unspecified, it means Meiser Sheni.
Because
that has limitations. But if you plant Meiser Sheni, it's chulin, even Midrabanan. So there you can't use that to explain the contradiction. Elo like Kasha, Hava Meiser tradition, Hava Meiser Sheni. So we are going to have to explain that we are talking about Meiser Rishon versus Meiser Sheni. Which there's two different.
To explain
the difference between the two braises. Right. So one is saying that you're not over Midaraisa if you prevent the animal from eating it, and the other one says that you are. So there's two ways of looking at it that the Rishonim have. One way of looking at it is Meiser Rishon, as we just said, is Mutar L'Zorim, therefore you're not allowed to muzzle the animal, and if you do, then you're over, you're going to get Malchus. Meiser Sheni, on the other hand, the fact is it is also outside Yerushalayim, therefore you're allowed to prevent the animal from eating it. The other way of looking at it, which I think, I don't remember who says that one, the other one, which I think the Ritzvah says, is the other way around, that no, Meiser Rishon, if you haven't taken truma from Meiser out of it, there's still truma in it. You can't give it to her. You can't allow an animal to eat from it. Ashenkin, Meiser Sheni, the fact is, Meiser Sheni is, to a certain extent, chulin. Yeah, you have the iser to eat it outside your shalayim, but that's not, that iser is not strong enough to override the iser of leitachsa b'shoy b'dishay. You have to somehow make sure the animal is going to have a chance to eat.
Why? Not strong enough to override it?
Because the fact is, and if you do eat it, if a person eats it outside of your shalayim, it's chayav malchus. If an animal eats it,
What are you chayav if you...
If you allow an animal to eat from it, you mabassel the mitzvah tzeh, taking it to your shalayim, but that's it. Yeah. Okay. V'boi say, mahova hova maisa sheni, or another way you could look at it is, both braises could be talking about maisa sheni, which is, again, usually maisa means maisa sheni, but like kasha, harab meyer, harab yehoda, you could just say the two braises are according to two different opinions. The one braisa that says that you're not over midaraisa would be the first braisa would be according to the mayor, who says that Meiser Sheni is considered mamun gavaya. It's not considered your mamun at all. So therefore, when we say lesachsim shur b'dishoy, you're not allowed to muzzle an ox in its threshing. This is not dishoy. This is not yours. It's not yours to thresh. It basically belongs to the Eibishter.
Means from the gut.
Means from Hashem.
From Hashem.
Yeah. So Hashem gives you permission to eat it in Yerushalayim according to certain rules, but nevertheless, it's Mamun Gavaya. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Meiser Sheni Mamun Edyot, too, whereas the second Braisa would be according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is fully Mamun Edyot. Yes, you have limitations on it that Torah imposes on you, but it's still Mamun Edyot. It's still considered your Mamun for all intents and purposes. We talk about this in Kedushin, for example, as far as the din. Can you be Mekadosh a woman with Meiser Sheni, for example? So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, it's Mamun Edyot. It is dishoy. It is your threshing. Therefore, you have to make sure the animal is going to be able to eat from it somehow. Make arrangements. Feed it ahead of time. Be poyed to the Meiser Sheni, whatever it is.
Not according to
Rabbi. Not according to the Meir. That is Mamun Edyot. Okay. Now, the question is, though, how are we talking about Meiser, how are we talking about Meiser Sheni while it's still, before it's been threshed? L'chora, we established before that Tevura is only Chayev in Truma and Meiser once Gemar Melacha is done, and Gemar Melacha, in the case of grain involves, you stack it up and you make a stack out of it, of the clean grain, and you smooth out the sides of the stack. That's long after the threshing. How are you talking about Meiser Sheni that comes in the form, in a form that has to be threshed anyway? So, Hei Chidami, Kigan Sheik Dimei B'Shibolim. The case therefore would have to be, let's say you don't have to give Trumas and Meisters until after Gemar Melacha is done, but you are able to do it ahead of that. So let's say while it was still in the form of sheaves, before he threshed it, he already declared a certain part of it Trumas, he already declared a certain part of it Meiser Sheni.
It's like
you don't have to worry about about eating two at a time, doing all those things that you might be like.
Right. Let's say, for example, you
went free.
Okay, the problem is now a little Yehuda of Haboichim. Fine, according to Rabbi Yehuda, okay, it's mom and hedyet. The fact of the matter is, you have to eat Meiser Sheni only inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So, going back to what we said before then. No, but the point is, according to the mayor, we said that you're not that taka you putter if you muzzle the animal to prevent it from eating it because mom and gavaya. No, by character, according to him, it is strong enough.
It's stronger than
the not stronger, but yeah, because it's mom and gavaya, therefore it's not dishay, and therefore you're not over. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's saying it's mom and hedya, meaning you have to allow the animal to eat from it. But how can you? You have to have an iser to eat Meiser Sheni outside your shalayim. How can you allow the lav of loy sachsim to override that? You always have alternatives, after all. Even if we're going to say one loy sachsim is going to be doicha another one, you can see, not when there's alternatives, you could always, again, you could feed the animal ahead of time, you could whatever, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it sounds like you're saying you have to allow the animal to eat from this. Now, how can you do that? The answer is, Chugan Shadosh, looking in Mechomer Space Pagi. Okay, you could say that. Let's say you're talking about, suppose you're doing the threshing inside the walls of your Shalayim. Base Pagi, Rashi explains, is an area that was added to the original city of your Shalayim. Pagi, Rashi says, means like something added on. At the beginning of the Masechta, we had a concept, Hamura Base Pager. We had the donkey and the harness, the part of the harness that's on its head. So therefore, base pagi can mean like the harness, like the area that was sort of harnessed and added on to the city. It's inside the walls of Yerushalayim, no? If you would be allowed to eat Meiser Sheni there, fine. Over there, once it's inside, again, according to the mayor, even though it's inside the walls, it's still mom and gavaya, therefore, din of leisachsim shoybidishay doesn't apply to it. According to the Yehuda, once it's inside the walls and you're allowed to eat from it, fine. Then your animal has to be allowed to eat from it also. Or yet another possibility to how we reconcile the two braises. You could say the two braises. One is talking about meiser from fruit, from produce that we know was tevel beforehand, and therefore again, if we say it's mom and gavaya, or even if we say it's mom and hetyet, but it's outside your shalayim, you're not allowed to eat from it. Therefore, you can prevent the animal from eating from it. The other one is talking about meiser sheni of zmai, which Meiser Sheni is my fine. Again, Minatoda, we would assume that most people take Meiser. Therefore, Minatoda, we would have to assume it's Cholin. It's only Midrabanan that we're taking it. Fine, again, a Takana, Midrabanan of Zmai, can't override the Issu Midaraisa of Lysaksa. Okay, the Gemara says, Hashtad, Osis Lahachi. Okay, actually, if you're going to mention the about Zvadai versus Zmai, fine, then you also Truma Nami like Hashtad. Fine, then you can say there's no contradiction in the two cases of Truma either. You don't have to say, like we said before, we're talking about Truma versus Gidule Truma. You could say one's talking about Truma of Zmai, and the other is talking about Truma of Vadai. Kan Truma Zvadai, Kan Truma Zmai. However, if we're going to say that, Bishlema Meister Zmai. Okay, when it comes to Meister, that answer works. There is such a thing as Meister Zmai. Hello, Truma Zmai Mika. How is there such a thing? It's Truma from Zmai anyway. Well, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. How did the whole concept of Zmai come about? Afu Bitulus Avidri. Also, he, Yochanan Kohen Gadol. The Rambam says, by the way, this is the same as the Yochanan Kohen Gadol that we say in Alanissim. As Man Grama. Maybe that's the Yochanan Kohen Gadol. The Rambam says it was the same one. Yes, show him that it's the one who was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years and became a Tzaddiki. Yeah. Anyway. So, Afu Bitul Tavidri, he was Mevatel the Vidri Meiser, talks about at the end of Soita, because in his time, the Takana existed that you give Meiser Rishon to the Kohenim and not to the Levium, or in addition to the Levium. So therefore, not necessarily can a person, when it comes to say Vidri Meiser, validly be able to say, V'gam Nesativ LaLevi, that I gave the Meiser Rishon to
Why do they give it to the Kohen?
So we learn, and then Yevamah talks about because the not enough Levim came with Ezra to build the second Beis Hamikdash, and therefore Ezra canceled them. And then it's a machlokas Tanoim over there, whether he took it away from them altogether and gave it to the Kohanim, or whether he said you can give it to either the Kohanim or the Levim. It's also on top of that, a machlokas Rishonim was, or actually it's a machlokas in the Gemara over there. Ezra himself was a Kohanim. It's also on top of that, a machlokas in the Gemara over there. Was it a takana only for his time? There was a takana for all time. Anyway, in Yochanan and Kohen Gadol's time, this existed. So therefore you couldn't do Vidu Maisa. The Gazer Alad Mai, and he made the Gzera about Mai. Lepisha Shalach before Gvur Yisrael, because he sent messengers to check out the situation throughout the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Barah Shalachim Afrishin Ela Trumah Gzera Bovat. He found that the Amei Aretz were only taking Trumah, some of the Amei Aretz anyway, not the majority, but a significant minority, were only taking Trumah. The Trumah they knew without it, they knew Trumah Yechayiv Mitzvah, everything else they were careless about. So therefore, by definition, we're going to be finished in a minute. By definition, therefore, Demai has Truma taken from it. So therefore, Demai is the Truma has been taken from it. You know that the Amor took Truma from it. The question is, did he take my solution with Truma's Meiser and Meiser Sheni?
What's left after Truma?
What's left after Truma, yeah. So therefore, so how is there such a thing? So what kind of Truma is there? Ella, like Kasha, can the Trumas Maisa Vada, can the Trumas Maisa Zmai? So no, rather, never mind Truma Gzorla, but Trumas Maisa. Trumas Maisa has basically the same genome as Truma Gzorla. And if we're saying the Amei Oris don't take Maisa Rishon, then they don't take Trumas Maisa here. They're careless with that. Fine. When you buy produce of Dmai from an Amei Oris, you have to take Maisa Rishon and Trumas Maisa from it and give the Trumas Maisa to a Koyan, because Korot, if it really hasn't had Maisa taken from it, then that's going to be also the Zorim. Fine. That's Trumas Maisa, though, again, Midoraisa would be Kulin, therefore you have to allow the animal to eat from it or make other arrangements. Whereas if it's Trumas Maisa of Vadai, then we said before that that was the first price that you can't allow the animal to eat from it because it's Truma. You can't allow an animal to eat from Truma. And that we could use that to reconcile the two of them without having to bring in the whole concept of Truma versus Gidulet Truma. Okay.